This is Vandana Shiva, and you're listening to the Enviro Show. Remember, listen to your mother.
Greetings, Earthlings. It's the Public Lands in Wrong Hands Enviro Show. I am one of your co-hosts, Dio, and I am not in the studio with...
Yeah, this is Glenn Ayers.
Hey, right, Glenn. And I'm sure it has occurred to you lately that the present managers of our public lands are not protecting or preserving them. Longtime listeners to this show, we know... They know, too. Zach Porter, Executive Director of Standing Trees, returns to the show to explain why and offers solutions. How about a quote of the week?
You better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop. What's that
sound? This quote of the week fits right in with our interview with Zach. What an extraordinary gift trees are, and how many things we can learn from them. If only we know how to watch, to see, to give them the love and attention that we give our friends. And that's from Susanna Tamaro. She's a writer. Okay, I think that brings us to our interview, Glenn.
Yeah, so let's go on to the interview with Zach Porter, who has been doing an amazing job as the executive director of Standing Trees, located up in Vermont, but they're covering the entire northern New England region. And Zach will fill us in on the latest with the telephone gap, old growth and mature tree logging program on the Green Mountain National Forest. We'll hear from Zach and then we'll be back. All right. Today on the Enviro Show, we are joined once again by Zach Porter. And Zach is the executive director of Standing Trees, which is a forest protection organization headquartered in Vermont, but covers the New England area. And Zach, welcome back to the show. Let's talk about, well, let me just set this up by saying that in our previous episode of the Enviro Show, we had on Dominic Della Sala, who is one of my heroes. He's a fantastic forest ecologist. And he wrote a paper about measuring forest degradation. And we talked about that on the show, and there's a link to that in our blog. Definitely worth listening to that interview. But toward the end of our time with Dominic, he used the Green Mountain National Forest and specifically the Telephone Gap logging project as an example of intentional forest degradation being planned by the U.S. Forest Service, under the guise of using a whole slew of euphemisms to really obscure the purpose of their efforts there, which is to cut down mature trees and old growth trees and convert the forest essentially into a tree farm. And, you know, that's the kind of setting. Since he mentioned that as an example for our listeners, I want you to first introduce yourself and then bring our listeners up to date on what Standing Trees is about and what you've been working on. And then specifically, we want to talk about this recently approved or, well, draft approval of the Telephone Gap logging project on the Green Mountain National Forest. So welcome to the Enviro Show, Zach, and take it away.
Thank you, Glenn. It's always an honor and a pleasure to join you and your listeners. And it's especially an honor getting to follow on the heels of Dominic Della Sala, who is also one of my heroes and mentors. And we are so lucky to have Dominic leading the charge on forest and really ecosystem research right now, especially related to the value of mature and old growth forests. He's really, really leading the pack. So it's great that he was on your show. And Dom's research and leadership has been, you know, really integral to helping shape the course of our work in advocacy. And the paper that he just released on forest degradation, like you said, is extremely relevant to what we're working on, which is to protect against, as Dom put so perfectly, the planned degradation of our public lands, which is, you know, not a, a phrase that I have uttered before, but it's one I'm going to use again. So thanks to Dom for, you know, not just producing the science, but for producing some helpful messaging, because I think it is extraordinarily challenging for us in the environmental community, folks, you know, approaching this from an ecological perspective, to push back on what is now more than a century of spin that has been developed to cloud what's really going on in the woods, when our state and federal agencies are quote unquote managing forests. And, you know, no matter how you slice it, here in the Northeast, it's forest degradation when these logging projects are put forward. And it's done under the guise of multiple use management or habitat restoration or, you know, any number of different ways of describing and hiding the actual, you know, impacts. So that's absolutely the case with the Telephone Gap Project, which I'm thrilled Dom mentioned. And he's highlighted the Telephone Gap Project in some of his previous writing, which we're really grateful for. And it's the case with state land management on Department of Conservation and Recreation lands in Massachusetts, on the White Mountain National Forest in New Hampshire, and in the Green Mountain National Forest in Vermont, as well as other state lands around the region. So, yeah, the Telephone Gap Project is a really, you know, egregious symptom and symbol of what's wrong with our current public land management, but it's also not unique. I would say the landscape is pretty incredible and unique in many ways, but in terms of what it represents, it's sadly just, you know, one of many similar awful projects that the U.S. Forest Service and our state agencies are moving forward right now at a time when we know better. And Dom's research, you know, proves that. So, yeah, thank you again for having me on.
Yeah, one of the things that I've been following, and there's a U.S. Forest Service website where you can follow, submit comments. Well, the comment period is over now, but this is called the Telephone Gap Integrated Resource Project. They give it a fancy name. Essentially, it is a logging plan, but, you know, they claim that they're managing all of these other resources in an integrated and holistic way. Meanwhile, that's just subterfuge for getting in there and cutting down some really big, old, valuable trees. Valuable not to, valuable to the people that want them to put into the international wood market. The international market, a lot of these trees will be shipped overseas where people will pay a lot for them because they cut down their trees in their country a long time ago. But they're more valuable. The thing we need to understand is that these trees are more valuable when left standing, hence the name of your group, Standing Trees. And definitely, the value to these trees is something that the Forest Service does not quantify the existing value. They only look at the value of the trees once they're cut down. And so if you go to this Forest Service website, you can see during this process, which has been ongoing for quite a while, you can see that for this comment period, 2,308 individual comments were submitted to the Forest Service. And I looked through that list. It's 20 pages of comments. I mean, 20 pages of people listed. I see a lot of familiar names on that list. I go down through it and I think, oh yeah, I know that person. I know that person. A lot of people I know commented on this, which is great. So that gets the word out, you know, thanks to groups like Standing Trees for putting out action alerts and things. But that also means that a lot of people are very concerned. And I bet, this is my guess, that 99% of the people that submitted comments are opposed to this project going in and logging the oldest parts of the Green Mountain National Forest. Do you have any take? You've probably looked at a lot of the comments that have been submitted. Do you have any general feeling about the level of opposition or support to what the Forest Service is proposing?
Yeah, there, as you said, it's overwhelming opposition to this project. And that's been the case with every project in recent memory on either the White or the Green Mountain National Forest. And we have been setting records left and right for the number of comments submitted. Never before have so many people weighed in on a single logging project in the Green Mountain National Forest as with the Telephone Gap Project. And actually, the 2,000 people who you just counted doesn't represent the total number of people who weighed in, because the Forest Service does not count people who submit a identical letter or who fill out a petition. And so, for example, just to use one example, one of our partners, Environment America, which has done some great work nationally protecting mature and old growth forests as a part of the Climate Forest Coalition that we also helped to lead, they generated 13,000 comments on the Telephone Gap Project. But those are counted as a single comment by the U.S. Forest Service because they were submitted, using an identical letter. In my opinion, every one of those people matter, and they should be listed next to all the other names on the Forest Service's website. And so this is another thing that the public needs to understand, is that the way our government works, the way that our agencies count comments, hides the public opposition to these projects. And throughout the project, well over 90% of the respondents have been in opposition. And in just the most recent comment period, which was called the objection period, a little over 90% were opposed to the logging project as it was, given initial approval on December 3rd of last year. So yeah, the public is moving way beyond where the Forest Service is right now. They've lost their social license. And this goes for public land managers broadly. I think the public gets it. These forests are worth more standing. They're worth more intact. We need them for the climate. We need them for clean water. We need them for the flood resilience that we know we're going to need next summer when we have another storm system just like the ones we've been having over the last couple of years here in New England. We need them for the biodiversity that they support, for the mental health that they support in our human communities. There is nothing even close to competing with the value of those ecosystem services when it comes to the private gain that's made from one of these projects. Just looking at Vermont, 96% of the wood products that are harvested every year in Vermont come from private lands. About a couple percent come from the Green Mountain National Forest, a couple percent from state lands in Vermont. We can turn off that spigot. We can allow our forests to grow old, end the forest degradation, and we would, be ending the waste of taxpayer dollars on public land logging. So it is a, just low-hanging fruit opportunity to shift the way that we are managing these public lands. And unfortunately, the Telephone Gap Project kind of continues us down the same path that we've been on by proposing 11,000 acres of logging. To give you some perspective on that, the city of Burlington, Vermont is 9,000 acres in size. The island of Manhattan is 16,000 acres in size. This is an enormous area that is going to be cut. The forest is well over, most of this forest is well over a century old. There are stands that are 150, 160 years of age right now, which means that when some of these stands will be cut in 10 or even 15 years, based on the timeline of the project, some of these areas could be 175, 180 years of age. And in New England today, just 0.3% of our forests are over 150 years of age. So for the Forest Service to be claiming that it is somehow responsible to be cutting down stands of that age, to be putting roads into areas that have no invasive species, we are putting so much at risk by logging in these areas. And there are far wiser places to source our wood products. And claims about the benefits of logging for any number of different things are just bogus and have been put to bed by the research of Dominic Della Sala and many others here in New England and beyond. So it is it's tragic that the Forest Service has gone down this path. If I can give the Forest Service a little bit of credit here, they did the first ever analysis of the carbon impact of a logging project in the entire United States right here with the Telephone Gap Project. And it's not a perfect analysis by any means. They left a lot out. But even using the conservative numbers that they came up with, we know that this project has an enormous climate impact. And it's really important for your listeners to understand how this one logging project, which is going to provide the teeniest, tiniest fraction of a percent of Vermont's wood supply in the coming years, this one logging project is going to release as much carbon as about 60,000 passenger vehicles release over the course of a year, gas-powered passenger vehicles, 60,000. That is the impact of this one project. And that's not even counting the lost carbon uptake that will occur as a result of cutting all of this mature and, in fact, even old growth forest down as a part of this project. So, you know, there is so much information that the Forest Service has compiled. And unfortunately, you know, information doesn't equal wisdom. And we are still getting a terrible decision here. And, you know, it's a lot more than the climate that's at stake. Just this last fall, a Canada lynx, a threatened species under the Federal Endangered Species Act, walked right through the parking lot of the Green Mountain National Forest headquarters. We have it on a photo from a security camera at the Green Mountain National Forest headquarters. And in the Telephone Gap project documents, even though this cat walked right through the Telephone Gap project area, the Forest Service is claiming that there are no Canada lynx present and there won't be any Canada lynx present anytime soon. And they did zero analysis of any impacts to Canada lynx, much less, you know, sufficient analysis of impacts to a lot of other species. And so there are so many reasons why this Telephone Gap project comes up short. And it would be far better to just let these forests continue to recover, to continue to grow old.
Yeah, one of the things that Dominic talks about in this paper, and folks who are listening can download a copy of this paper by Dominic Della Sala called, the title of the paper is Measuring Forest Degradation via Ecological Integrity Indicators. And that they can download a copy of that paper on the EnviroShow blog of for our previous episode, which was Degradation Nation EnviroShow. This show, however, is going to be the Public Lands in Wrong Hands EnviroShow, which is talking about, you know, with you, Zach, about how the Forest Service, this land is in the wrong hands. It's being managed by the wrong agency because they have perverse incentives to chop down the forest instead of protect it. And, you know, one of the reasons why they want to chop down the oldest trees in the forest is because they claim that it's going to improve the age class diversity. Now, I don't want to talk about that because it is so absurd on its face, but the euphemisms are unbelievable. And to my way of thinking, and I've been involved in this process, this planning process right from the start, this is a classic example of bad faith planning, bad faith negotiating, or whatever you want to call it, on the part of the U.S. Forest Service. They have been operating in bad faith throughout this entire process. It's been highly manipulated, and they've arrived at a predetermined outcome after going through this sham process that they went through to solicit public input. Afterwards, they disregarded, like you said, 95% of the public input that they got, they disregarded completely, and they arrived at their predetermined outcome, which they had right from the start. And I, like I said, I've been following this. I said this right at the first meeting that they held, that we know what you're going to do here. And sure enough, they did it. And, you know, that's bad faith in my book. So, and the Green Mountain National Forest has done this in the past. They did it with other projects back in the 90s when they were doing lots of logging on the Green Mountain National Forest. And the courts found that they acted in bad faith because they were so blatant about it. They're probably more careful this time. But one of the things about this concept of forest degradation is that it is a way of measuring the ecosystem integrity. So by measuring the loss of that integrity and things that happen to do with the native species composition and the functional processes that go on in the forest, that's the measure of degradation. And so what we can tie into these two things, this Telephone Gap project and this concept of forest degradation, is that this is what the Forest Service is intending to do. Their intention is to highly degrade this forest and all of the functions that it performs, and all of the biological attributes and the ecological systems that are currently there. Their intention is to destroy all of those things, which, as you said, they have been rebuilding, rewilding for the last 100 plus, 150 years. And now the Forest Service, they want to essentially wipe all of that out, set it back to essentially the glacial period or the post-glacial period after the ice sheets retreated. They want to return the forest to a level of devastation. And that's the way it really needs to be looked at, that the Forest Service is in the business now of destroying the ecological integrity of our public lands. And so, you know, my question is, and I think we've talked about this in the past, is this the wrong agency to be managing the Green Mountain National Forest? And should this instead be the Green Mountain National Park under the Department of the Interior so that it is managed the way national parks are managed instead of the way timber or tree farms are managed by the so-called Forest Service, which they should just change the name of the Forest Service and call it the Logging Service or the Timber Service, because that's what its main mission is at this point, is to get the cut out. And cut, as Dominic said in our previous episode, what they're doing is called cut and run. They cut here and then they run to some other place that hasn't been logged in 100, 150 years, and they cut there and they just cut and move on. And that's the process that they follow. And so is it reasonable for people to expect, after going through all of this theater of the absurd with the Forest Service, that what we need to do instead is to basically take the management of this land away from the timber industry, which is the Forest Service, and give it to the National Park Service and create a large Green Mountain National Park in Vermont?
Yeah, these are some big questions, and I would say they're weightier in the present era with our new president, who shall not be named. But, you know, yes, the Forest Service has been failing our national forests in many respects. I'm a proud former Forest Service employee. I got my career started as a Forest Service employee. I love our national forests deeply. In fact, I think it's, you know, people who know our national forests intimately and have worked on them, many of them become some of the greatest advocates for national forests and skeptics of the U.S. Forest Service. One of those people being Jim Furnish, who, you know, led the charge in the Pacific Northwest to reshape forest management in the wake of the spotted owl controversy several decades ago, and who recently passed away. Sadly, he was a giant of the national forest community, and in his retirement did incredible work to help reform the Forest Service, or at least push it to reform. And, you know, Jim's greatest legacy while he was at the agency as the deputy chief was to protect about 58 million acres of the national forest system through the roadless area conservation rule. And, you know, I would say, yes, there would be absolutely many benefits to the Department of Interior, you know, taking over, you know, Forest Service land here in New England. But I think it's more complicated than that, because the fact of the matter is that some of these, I would say, pernicious ideas that you know, our forests are out of whack, and that to make them healthier, we must cut them down. We're seeing these kinds of ideas spreading even in the National Park Service today. And there are examples across the country where Park Service lands are being mismanaged, and where the timber industry and these concepts that logging is necessary for forest health are kind of pushing the Park Service to do things that seemingly would have been unthinkable just a short time ago. And so what I'm trying to say here is that we need strict protection for public lands here in the Northeast, something on the par for the New England National Forests and our state forests, something on par with what we have in the, you know, Adirondack Forest Reserve and Catskill Forest Reserve in New York State, something that will make sure that they stay forever wild. And how exactly that you know, needs to happen is a big question that we all need to be asking right now. But in the face of an administration right now that would happily do away with not just our public land agencies, but in fact, the public lands themselves. I do think it's really important to be nuanced in our conversations about all of this, because yes, we need reform. Maybe we even need a shift from U.S. Department of Agriculture to U.S. Department of the Interior. Absolutely. That's on the table. But we also need to make sure that we aren't giving the impression that these lands could be better managed in private hands, for example. And I know that that's never something that has ever come up on this program, but I want the public to know that that is a real danger. It is a part of the Project 2025 platform that this administration ran on, and they are now quickly trying to execute in Washington, D.C. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that these lands are better off in public ownership than they ever would be in private ownership or state ownership. So we need to celebrate these federal public lands and work to reform their management and find a way to forever wild management for these federal public lands. And I would love to see the day when we have a Green Mountain National Park or a White Mountain National Park. And then I'd love to see really strong protections in place for the forests in those parks. And it's just not a guarantee that that would be the case without, you know, just really strong public support for those protections. And luckily, we're seeing more and more of that right now. And I am excited that, you know, there's growing, you know, there's a growing wave of enthusiasm for public land protection here in the Northeast.
Yeah. So, Zach, with the remaining time we have, I want you to be able to tell folks how they can get involved with Standing Trees. And full disclosure here, I am a financial supporter. I'm a monthly supporter of Standing Trees. And I have a small amount of money taken out of my checking account every month and sent to Standing Trees through our friends at the Global Justice Ecology Project. Ann Peterman and Oren Langell. And so that's very easy to do. I don't even notice that. And so I would like you to tell our listeners how they can support the great work that you're doing up there, you know, running the organization, or at least helping to run the organization Standing Trees and advocating for the protection of these really critical forests in New England.
Thanks, Glenn. And yeah, going back to the Telephone Gap Project, you know, it may take legal action to keep that project from moving forward. Just as, you know, we recently filed a suit to stop two terrible logging projects in the White Mountain National Forest. And so, you know, that's possible because of the amazing support of the Standing Trees community and people like yourself. And we invite anyone to donate at any level. Membership starts at $1. And so you can make a huge difference by joining our community at whatever, you know, dollar amount is meaningful to you and fits your wallet. So we'd be grateful for that. You can find us at standingtrees.org. Again, that's standingtrees.org. I hope people will feel free to get in touch with me directly. Our contact information is on the website. And, you know, we've seen, I would say, you know, huge progress in just the last 3 years. Even though there are terrible projects continuing to come our way, the tide is turning. And we had 100 people protesting outside the Green Mountain National Forest headquarters just recently, front page news. And there is a real possibility for movement at the state level too, for changes in the way that public lands are managed. And, you know, this is only because people are banding together, getting organized and taking action on behalf of public lands. So it gives me hope in the face of pretty dark times ahead. And I hope you'll join the Standing Trees community and bring that hope into your world, in your world too. Nothing better than to be fighting for our public forests.
Yeah, we'll put links to Standing Trees and on our EnviroShow blog, enviroshow.blogspot.com. But Zach, I want to thank you so much for the incredible activism and advocacy that you do on behalf of all of us for the trees. You certainly speak for the trees, especially up there in northern New England. And just want to thank you for your, you know, years of dedication to this effort. And, you know, keep up the great work. And I hope that our listeners will support the efforts of Standing Trees and really stop these terrible logging projects from happening through whatever means necessary. And, you know, if that's lawsuits or, you know, chaining yourself to a tree or whatever it takes, we really have to save these trees. We can't let the Forest Service do this kind of really, really egregious mismanagement of our publicly owned public trust lands. So thanks for being on the show, Zach. Thanks for everything that you're doing up there.
Yeah, thank you, Glenn.
Well, I'm sorry that I didn't get to sit in on that interview, but I think Zach is really spot on and his work is amazing there. And pretty soon we're going to have to get out the troops to go and occupy Green Mountain Forest, you know, the closest forest to us here in Massachusetts.
Yeah, maybe we can convince Senator Bernie Sanders to introduce legislation to designate the Green Mountain National Forest as the Green Mountain National Park, put it over into the Department of Interior. Maybe Bernie would be willing to do that. Maybe then we can designate the entire Telephone Gap area as the Bernie Sanders Wilderness Area. So that's an idea, and I think we should ask him to do that.
Sounds like sounds like a plan.
That's it, except for one more thing.
Oh, I thought we covered everything.
No, don't forget to listen to your mother.
Oh, how could I ever forget? That's it. This is Theo saying adios.
And I'm Glenn Ayers. Get active.
I am Mother Earth, and I approve of this message.